That's making you stronger in Christ. Why does it, how does it do it? Simply because you had seen last week how God got you through when you couldn't have done it in the natural. That's why. So every trial, in fact, boosts us, strengthens us, encourages us, shows us yet more that we can trust Him to take us through every trial and situation. Is there sea in front of you? Then God's going to take you right through it. Is there fire in front of you? He's going to take you right through that fire. Is there a storm, a hurricane there in front of you? He's going to take you right through it. Human nature will try and avoid it and go round it. That's what the children of Israel tried to do in the wilderness. They all the while tried to avoid the trials and tests that God had for them. And it came out in their unbelief and their griping and moaning. It's the same today in Christendom. Doesn't change at all. And so God's divine providence, His will is, we're going to go through this and we're going to storm this one together. You see, if God knew there was another way, He would take us because He's God. He never makes a mistake. Your trial, your storm that is facing you is absolutely perfect. It is tailor-made, and that is where God is going to bless you and He's going to reveal Himself to you. The trouble is He just doesn't do it in our timing and when we want Him to. You see, it is often the leading of the Spirit that brings about the trial. Did you know that? Let's look at verses 14 to 15. Verses 14 to 15. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with the Spirit that we are the children of God. So you see, it is the leading of the Spirit that often brings us into trials, and our trials are maturing and developing us into what? Sons. Sons must mature. You cannot remain babes in Christ. And this often is a problem to be found in the house of God. They don't want to grow up. But our trials get us to grow up. Our trials reveal, hey, I'm a son. And a son has a different standing with God than a child. And the scriptures clearly show this. God wants you to have that right standing, that standing of boldness in his presence. That standing. Remember last week we spoke about that signet ring. That is what he's placing on our hands, so that that seal tells the powers of darkness something. That is a seal of authority. That is God's seal. But that seal can only come by those who weather the storm and who do not avoid the trials but go through the storm with God. That is where you gain that authority with God. It is our walk, it is our standing, it is our going through those storms that is dividing and weakening Satan's kingdom. All the while professing Christians run away and avoid the trials and the tests, he still has a hold in this world. But we're breaking that. And how is it breaking? By you standing and just believing. And that's all God has ever asked of you. He's never asked you to work it out. He's never asked you to fight it. He's never asked you to come up with good ideas, plans, or whatever it is. He says, just trust me, look to me, and we'll weather this storm. We'll get through it. Why? Because I overcame all things. That's why. And we will. And so the very fact that you are led by the Spirit causes the prayers and intercessions in you, and not just for self, but for family, loved ones, things you're believing for, all the promises of God that are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. The Spirit within you leads you to intercede, to supplicate, because of the very trials you go through. Amen? Are you believing for a house? Then the delay, the trial, the obstacle, the mountain is there. The Spirit in you won't let go. It is interceding. It won't give up until it manifests. Can you not see God's ways? He works. Now you can't get your emotions and flesh in that. You think, well, what's the problem? Why bother? It's absolutely hopeless. Of course it is. Everything in this life that we face is hopeless. From your senses and your feelings. But if you know what your trials are about, and you know that they are no mistake, that God is in complete control, your trials that you are going through are causing you to supplicate, to intercede, to remove the very obstacles to your faith and to believing and receiving. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise his name. That is why we must never ever try to be in control. And so many professing believers want to be in control. That's why they don't grow and go any further with God. It is an utter, complete surrender with God if you want to walk by the Spirit. It is a completely letting go. And are you finding yourself in hopeless situations? Are you finding yourself in a situation where there's no way out of this? There's no way out. Well, praise God, that is the ideal conditions where you can completely let go. Now, in the natural, you never do that. And yet, that's the very thing God tells us to do. I often say to Christians, when they come to the end of themselves, when they tried this, tried that, whatever it is, I said, well, then the only thing you can do, raise the flag and surrender. Let go. Just let go. And I have seen God every time bring through my brother, my sister, that has been completely at the end of themselves. And it's probably the last thing they ever wanted to hear me say or come out of my mouth. And yet I have said, let go. Surrender. Raise that white flag that you're telling everyone, I'm surrendering, and you watch. And God, what does he do? He suddenly comes in like a flood and takes over. That's the very thing he wanted. He wants you to surrender what outwardly appears to be impossible. Now, nobody would ever do that. That is completely contrary to our nature, to our thinking, to our education, what we were brought up, to how the world thinks. Completely contrary. And yet he says, it's surrendering, letting go. That is fighting the good fight of faith. What is fighting? Fighting is letting go. See, God's ways are so opposite to our ways and thinkings, aren't they? Hallelujah. But he always gives grace in everything that he says. You see, you cannot be your own boss. You cannot plan and scheme your own life. That is not God's providence. He is completely sovereign, and he has to do it and will do everything in and through our lives. He is going to provide. He is going to feed us. He's going to sustain us. He's going to keep us. He's going to clothe us. He's going to house us. He's going to give all those things that the world is looking for, lusting for. He says, don't even take concern over that. I will provide. And when we start to get that one right, we become much more kingdom-minded. Because our minds and hearts are off those things that try to cause anxiety and fear and frustration. We've got to get a much bigger view, a much bigger picture of what God's doing in these last days. We really, really have. You see, all our circumstances are in the hand of God. That's why we don't think it's strange. If you really know that your circumstances are all in the mighty hand of God, you ain't going to think it's strange when the next trial comes along. Well, what on earth's happening? Why is this happening? Why is this gone? Why? You're still thinking it's strange. Now, the very fact you're thinking it's strange is telling you you haven't yet settled it. Because it won't be strange. However bizarre, however peculiar. And you know, when you think about it, our Lord met some most peculiar, bizarre things in his ministry. And you think about it. The early church, the apostle himself, Paul, met the most strangest, bizarre things that happened to them. Did they think it strange? No, not at all. Did the Apostle Paul think it strange that he was shipwrecked twice? Well, it happened once. Where's it? What, you know, where am I going wrong that this should happen again? And yet we would think it. What's God saying? You know, something must be wrong. We start questioning it, judging it. If something is wrong, still don't think it's strange because God will hone in. He'll get it right. We try to understand God's providence. We try and be God and understand what he's trying to do. And we don't. Only God will reveal. If I'm to ever pray effectively for my brother and sister, I can only do it on the basis that God will reveal. Otherwise, I just pray it in the spirit. Because I don't know otherwise. Or I can assume with my intellect, but I'll get it wrong. And then we fall into judgment. Judging. We have got to be led by God. God's ways are not our ways, because we're dealing with God's providence, and he brings us with his providence into these circumstances that only the Holy Spirit can understand. Otherwise we don't understand this walk, and we'll become very disillusioned and very despondent. You see. And so if we are understanding this and we're getting this right, then we ain't going to think it strange. Even though we may be a bit disappointed, we may be a bit down or whatever it is I'm going through, this isn't strange. Well, it isn't strange, and I'll tell you why. Because if you think about it, you've gone through it before. Or very similar. If you're feeling down, depressed, think back a bit. Hang on, I went through this not so long ago. And I went through this before. And last year. Or I went through that experience. If you look back, it doesn't take long. And yet God got you through it. And what he's trying to show you is, don't think it strange. It's God's divine providence. And he knows the right way for you. You know, often it's thinking it's strange, and that's where we miss it. All the while we think it's strange, you're missing it. You can't release faith. You can't see the bigger picture. And that is why you're going to go through it again and again until you come to that place you don't think it's strange, and then you're going to find you're on the next plateau. You've overcome that. It's no longer holding you. It's no longer paralyzing you. It's no longer bringing you down and feeling depressed. You've overcome this. And then you move on to the next thing that God has for you. And that's how it works, you see. So we don't think it's strange. You see, intercession isn't warring and travailing against the strangeness, which so often sometimes we do, because we think it's strange. Oh, I'm emotional, everything. Right, let's get into warfare. And your warfare doesn't go any higher than the ceiling. But it's allowing the Spirit to pray through the situation that he allows us to go through. Not because it's strange and it's created a reaction from me, because our emotions think will let us think that that's the Holy Spirit. No, it is being led by the Spirit. It's coming to that place where this isn't strange. It hasn't taken certainly God by surprise. It might have me. But I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to work through me to pray effectively in this situation. That's why sometimes we have to give ourselves time in God's presence. You can't just come straight into God's presence and get into warfare. It doesn't work like that. Sometimes you need to become attuned, need to become sensitive. You've got to wait on the Spirit, and then you begin to understand, and then you can begin to pray effectively in that situation. Because it has taken time for the Spirit to reveal it. Because the intercessions, we're told in verse 26, will reveal the things of the Spirit. He's going to reveal the things of the Spirit to you. And believe me, that's powerful when he does that. Because that releases faith, it releases that stand, that authority with God, and you can pray it through, whether it takes a day, a week, a year, or whatever it would be. That anointing, the unction of the Spirit is there. You see? Now we don't all have to be intercessors for that. I believe all the saints are intercessors in that sense. We can all experience that. Verse 26 tells us we can. For the Spirit prays for us. Hallelujah. And so he puts us amongst these situations in order to pray to bring it before the mercy seat of God. Your interceding, your supplicating is bringing that situation to God's mercy. It's the mercy seat. Never forget that. Every time you come before God in prayer, you are appealing to the mercy and grace and love of God. Otherwise our prayers, we've lost all ideas of what our prayers are about. Oh, I want to pray the prayer of faith. I want to pray the prayer of power. I want to bring down fire from heaven. Sounds familiar? Yes, many of the saints wanted that. We've done it, we've gone through it. But really, it's about mercy. We were praying this morning for our families. What were we doing? We were praying mercy. We were bringing those souls before the mercy seat of God, that God would not blot their names out. Amen? That's supplication. That's knowing God's heart, that his heart is that none should perish, but they'll also come to eternal life. Hallelujah. And it makes my trial and what I'm going through trivial in compared when I'm bringing my loved ones before God, and that God will have mercy and save their soul. Hallelujah. What are my trials in the light of that? Nothing. But friends, it can be only done as he puts us amongst these situations in order to pray these things through. And that is why you have to be led by the Spirit. Because the Spirit, when you're led by the Spirit, it's not a coincidence. It's not mere luck. It's no such thing as chance. That was for a reason. As peculiar as it might look. Because I can take that and supplicate and bring that to the mercy seat of God. Amen? That's why we must pray for our nation. Pray for our areas. Pray for our communities. Pray for our neighbours. Pray for those bosses at work and so on. Because it's not by chance. You have been placed into a situation which is a great privilege for those who don't know Christ. If you have been placed into a job, they don't realize it, but they are mightily privileged because you have been placed there for a reason. It's not by chance. It is a reason you have been placed there, because there's souls God's going to save. God has decided to bless that company, that place, or whatever it is that gives you your wage. You are not there by chance, by coincidence, good luck. You are there for a reason. You are there to supplicate, to pray, to be that example. And often it's not in what you say, it's in what you do. See? Now, you don't go around all puffed up and say, oh, by the way, I want you to know, you are really blessed because I'm here working with you. I'm a Christian. And so because I'm a Christian, I'm blessed. You're going to get blessed. Now, you've missed it. That is not the motive. That is not the attitude. You know? But I'm just giving a situation here where God puts us in these situations in order for it to come before the mercy seat of God. It's all the while staying judgment that is eventually finally going to come, as we know. So are we hindering the work of the Holy Spirit? That is the question. Am I still hindering the Spirit working through my life? Because we have to be open. Sometimes we have to examine ourselves in the light of the Scriptures. Because God forbid, who wants to be a hindrance? You know, there's enough hindrances in life without being a further hindrance. And sadly, we find if there are those who continue to don't want to go on with this, or fight against the Word, or fight against things, then sadly, sometimes God has to remove them. Why? Because they are a hindrance. Why are they hindrance? Because they're not prepared to move amongst situations to pray and intercede and to be used. They're still hard-hearted, they're still self-centered, and they want what they want instead of seeking the kingdom of God and all these things that pertain to it. You see the difference? It's a refusal of wanting to grow up. They're still immature. I want my way. I want my things. And so on. And God isn't going to have it. Because eventually it becomes a hindrance. So are we hindering the work of the Holy Spirit? See, all our prayers, intercessions, do not belong to us. They don't belong to us. They belong to the Holy Spirit. If you are walking in the Spirit, and you intercede and you supplicate, they ain't your prayers. They are prayers that are moved by the Spirit of God. And they don't belong to you, they belong to the Holy Spirit. And that makes it sovereign, doesn't it? So that prayer we pray, what we have prayed today, what we believe, that came by the Holy Spirit, and that was a gift of the Spirit in order for us to pray and intercede for that needy country and what it's gone through. You see, doesn't this begin to put things into perspective? Doesn't it begin to raise God up and show that He's solely, totally, completely sovereign? We can do nothing unless it is given and revealed. And that is how Jesus walked. That is how he walked. So brothers and sisters, no such thing as chance. Everything is divinely given. And because you walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, that is because of God's divine providence. Therefore your walk, God walking you every day, your situations, your trials, everything you go through are all working together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Nothing is by chance. Now rest in that. God loves us so much, he is not going to give up. He is not going to give up on you. He's not going to give up on your family. Things don't come when maybe we want it, but with God, everything is always on time. Rest in it. Rest in it today, because it's going to save you a lot of energy, a lot of emotional turmoil. All those things that the world goes through, God wants us anchored in rest by faith. That is why years ago, as I close now, God showed us when this faith teaching that we teach is like sitting back in an armchair and putting your feet up and just being carried along. Huh? Let's face it, what do we like to do, particularly at the end of the day? Get that in that chair, get your feet up and rest. Oh, isn't it wonderful? Nothing like it, eh? You know, fold the old arms and tell the family, go, I've had a hard day today, but oh, this is wonderful. You know, and you can feel all your muscles and everything all relaxing, everything was throbbing away, you know, and all the anxiety. You can just feel as though you're totally chilling out, aren't you? Eh? Well, how much more then if we take that over into the spiritual and our whole walk of faith is a resting in God, that everything is working together for good. It's just the enemy gets vocal and all he's trying to say, hath God said? See, God's let you down. He's not true to his word. See, he is a liar. These were all the things he suggested to Adam and Eve. What are you going to listen to? Therefore, don't let your trials, circumstances, don't think them strange, but turn it together for good to God and in prayer, intercession, and leave it there and let God work it out. All of this is delivering us so that we can enjoy our walk, our relationship with God. And these things are not going to come along and hinder that relationship. You see, you don't want that in relationships with in the world. Husbands, wives, that, you know, you don't want things keep coming in and hindering that relationship. Well, how much more then with our walk and relationship with God? Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you today. We thank you that we all have need of hearing this message. Where none of us have gone too far or matured or grown up too much, where we no longer need to hear the word of God that brings us back, that focuses us, that brings us back so that we can seek you for change, deliverance. Come back to that rest of faith that we have. Lord, help us not to think it strange going through the trials that we go through, but to count it all joy, as James says, knowing that all things work together for good. There is a reason, there's a purpose, there's a plan. And often we can't see it straight away, but we will. We will. Because, Father, you never leave us nor forsake us. And we thank you for this now, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. In Jesus' name.
Till it finds fulfillment in the eye. Jesus is.